This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hi, this is Mary Grady with AvWeb, and today I'm talking with Lindy Kirkland. He's the president of the Air Care Alliance, and he was recently down in Haiti with some pilots and general aviation aircraft down there helping out with the relief efforts. So he's going to tell us about his experience there and some ideas he has about how these kind of projects work and maybe how they could be improved in the future. And so, Lindy, could we just start out with talking about your experience and what you saw and what kind of airplanes you were flying and how all that worked?
Sure, Mary. It all started with an email from a good friend of mine who we were trading some emails, and then out of the blue, his email popped up and said, "Do you want to go to Haiti?" And so I quickly said yes, and we made some quick plans to meet in Florida in the next couple of days, and we were off. He had joined up with Bahamas Habitat and had coordinated to take some gear down from Fort Lauderdale down to Jacmel, Haiti. And so we arrived in Fort Lauderdale at the Banyan Air Services FBO, where they so graciously were providing hangar space and support to all the missions going to Haiti. Bahamas Habitat was organizing the equipment that was flowing down from Fort Lauderdale. And so my buddy and I flew his Baron, B-58 Baron, from Fort Lauderdale with about 1,000 pounds of gear down to Jacmel, Haiti. We spent the next week essentially flying short-haul missions from Santiago in the Dominican Republic to Jacmel, Jeremy, and Lacaille, Haiti, some of the smaller fields that are there in the country. So we were hauling pretty much everything from food, water, medical supplies, baby food, baby formula, people in and out, and it was just a really interesting operation that they have going there.
And what was the actual flying like? Was it pretty challenging flying with the terrain and the type of airports you were working out of there?
Absolutely. It was extremely challenging, and I have to admit that I was a little surprised that the mountains between the Dominican Republic and those in and around Haiti itself are much larger and more treacherous than I had imagined. As you know, there's one mountain range that extends up to just over 10,000 feet between the Dominican Republic and Haiti itself, with several ranges in the 4,000 to 6,000 foot range, very, very close to the beaches and close to the cities there in Haiti. So the normal Caribbean environment, when you get the clouds every day pretty much in and around the terrain, proved to be some really challenging flying environment down there. That coupled with the fact that we were landing on sometimes unimproved strips, gravel strips, or very short strips with the high density altitude, that was what my buddy termed varsity level flying.
Well, I guess so. So were there good services available? Were you flying IFR?
We were in some cases flying IFR. There were no radar services available per se. We were speaking with both Haitian controllers and with Dominican Republic controllers, but in large part it was procedural control as opposed to actual radar control. So we were having to do position reporting and those sorts of IFR procedures.
Wow. So how's the coordination? Once you got yourselves down there, were things running pretty smoothly? Did you feel like the airplanes were being well utilized?
Absolutely. I was very, very pleasantly surprised at how well coordinated the missions were, both with Bahamas Habitat running supplies and things out of Fort Lauderdale and out of Nassau. And once we got to the Dominican Republic, we engaged with a group called Go Ministries. And they're based there in the Dominican Republic, and they're a missionary organization and are not necessarily involved in logistics. But in this case, they were running the warehouse in the Dominican Republic that was taking in the supplies and then coordinating all the flights going in and out of Santiago over to the Dominican Republic. And at times it was upwards of 10 or 11 airplanes that were making multiple runs a day into multiple airfields in and around Haiti.
So as of now, I guess it's been over a month, really, and I know some commercial flights are starting to go back into Port-au-Prince, I guess. Do you think, is there still a need for GA pilots to volunteer?
Absolutely, Mary. What we saw happening there was, and this was described to us by some of the Haitians that we met, that many people who are now homeless as a result of the collapse of the buildings in and around Port-au-Prince, those people are moving back out into the hinterlands and back to their respective hometowns that are much less commercialized, much less built up than the Port-au-Prince area. And so it's really putting a strain on the resources, medical, food, housing, you name it, in all of those areas. And so the need is still very great for those type of services and those goods that were flowing in and out.
So when you got to these little airports, can you describe for us a little bit what was the situation there? What kind of needs were you finding that needed to be met, or how did the people respond to you there?
Well, they're normally very, very, again, well-organized, and the people were very responsive. In almost every case, when we took a load to one of the sites, we had a point of contact that was supposed to meet us there on the ground, and that, in fact, did happen. In some places where we delivered goods, they were just unloading the airplanes and warehousing the goods there and then distributing it through another ground network in and around those areas. So the airports were in generally good shape. Two of the three that we landed on were paved runways, 3,500 foot in kind of in the length category there. One was gravel, but it was very smooth gravel and well cared for. There was no fuel available in Haiti, and so every trip we had to do, we had to make sure that we had enough fuel for both legs to return back to Santiago in the Dominican Republic.
And there were no security issues? I know there were some rumors that there were, you know, that it was dangerous, basically, to be down there.
In some of the areas, there were some riots fairly close to some of the airplanes. Some of the folks that we had worked with down there that were flying into some different airports like Port-au-Pie, they had some instances where there was some of that. But in the airports that we visited for more than a week, they were very well organized. In one case, Jacques Mel is being run by the Canadian Armed Forces, and they usually have UN presence at the other airports as well. So things there are pretty stable, and there was none of that going on in and around the airports that we saw.
Okay, well, I know after Katrina there was some effort, because there was a lot of confusion during Katrina about what pilots should do or shouldn't do and how to organize that. Did you feel that this time things were a little better organized? I know there were still some questions out there about, you know, at first pilots were being told just stay home and send money, but, well, what's your feeling about how this should work going forward?
Well, I think in this case and in Katrina and those areas, you have to look at each situation as being somewhat unique. In the case of Haiti, you have a country that doesn't have a great infrastructure to begin with, and so you have to work with what is there and what's available to begin with. In Katrina and Rita, you had infrastructure, but that infrastructure was largely unusable, except for very small portions of runways and communications and things like that. One of the initiatives that we would like to see going forward, and we have talked on occasion to officials from FEMA and other government organizations, is sort of a nationwide registry of private pilots who are willing to volunteer their airplanes and time in situations like this to respond to crises. And we have, again, approached them on a couple of occasions. We've discussed participation in some of their war games exercises that would involve general aviation. But I have to say that our experience to date has been that they're not at a point where they can easily incorporate general aviation into some of those plans, because it typically involves large numbers of volunteers, large numbers of airplanes coming from lots of different places. And so FEMA and other organizations have been a little reluctant to engage with us on that sort of planning at this point.
Oh, okay. So that really leaves you guys at the Air Care Alliance there to coordinate these things on an ad hoc basis, right, as things happen.
Well, most of the volunteer pilot organizations around the country, of which there are a little more than 60 that we represent, you know, they have wonderful organizations, and they're very good about responding very quickly. In fact, in the very first couple of days after the earthquake in Haiti, several organizations had pilots and airplanes on the ground in the Dominican Republic and in and around Haiti ready to move supplies and people in and out of the country. So the individual groups that are flying and have the volunteer pilots on their rosters, they typically are doing a fantastic job of getting organized and getting missions flown into those areas that need the help.
I see. So if there's a pilot out there listening today who wants to help, what would advice would you give to him or her?
Absolutely, get in contact with groups that are in your area that are already doing volunteer pilot operations. And if you need a central website to go to find some of those groups, that would be the Air Care Alliance website at www.aircareall.org. And that would give a geographical reference of all the groups that are in the country that are flying the different types of volunteer pilot operations that are going on in the country today.
Okay, great. And thanks, Lindy. Is there anything else you'd like to add on this topic or any more details for us?
I would like to say, just as an aside, that you know, what I saw in the time that I was there and what I've been aware of both before and after is that the bulk of the list of equipment, supplies, and people going in and out of the country are being done by volunteers that are either providing the airplanes and time themselves, or companies have donated their airplanes and crews to go down and do missions for a period of time. And so it's really a total volunteer effort that is moving vast amounts of supplies and goods in and out of the country. And it'll be interesting to see in the aftermath of this how we quantify that. But it was eye-opening to me, just the spirit of volunteerism and just the outpouring of goodwill that was going into the flying and the movement of supplies down there.
Okay, well, thanks very much.
Thank you, Mary.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.